me during the month of April, you know that our power or our gift has been judgment and wisdom. And my experience is that God, Spirit, the universe, life, whatever we choose to call it, just has the most amazing ways of bringing us everything we need at the moment we need it in ways that we couldn't possibly imagine. Hasn't that been your experience? That I just need to know how to do this. I just need to know who to call. I just need whatever it is, and there it is for us. There's a wonderful quote, the book that I did not quote on here. Okay. The book that I'm using for the year is The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore, who is the founder of Unity. And a wonderful book to kind of supplement that is How to Use Your 12 Gifts from God by William Warch. And in that book, he says, and you'll see this on the front of your bulletin, "The exercising of judgment and wisdom is a thinking process, but drawing upon judgment is a feeling process. Your message from God will come through your feeling nature as a yes feeling or a no feeling. This positive or negative feeling that comes from within is called intuition. Your intuition will never fail you if you still yourself to divine judgment. Remember, instilling yourself toward divine judgment, don't try to figure out solutions for yourself. Release the situation into the hands of your Father and allow the right feeling to take over your consciousness. This is the Christ as judgment transforming you from within. All results will reveal that you are a channel which allows divine wisdom to flow through." So I had the most amazing experience of this divine wisdom, and call it the still small voice, call it the Holy Spirit, call it inner wisdom, whatever you want to call it, but it's that this is where the keys are. Ever done that? Where in the world are the car keys? Where have I put the car keys? I've torn the place apart looking for the car keys. How could I have been so stupid to lose the car keys? Once we still ourselves, once we quiet our minds, once we allow ourselves to say, there's a power, Ernest Holmes says, there's a power greater than we are and we can use it. And that power tells us what we need to know when we need to know it. So once we stop beating ourselves up and ask, the car keys are under the refrigerator. The car keys are in the car. The car keys are wherever. In the freezer. Wow. That's interesting. Okay. But you were putting the frozen vegetables away and you set your car keys down. That makes sense. We'll go with that, right? The point is, we always know what we need to know, but we have to ask and then we need to listen. Those of you that have been with me for a while know that this is my fourth or fifth trip to Edwine Gaines's retreat center. She is the author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. Absolutely wonderful, dear friend, wonderful teacher. Those of you that have been with me for a while might have met her in person. She's been with us a couple of times in the past. Just wonderful. And this retreat center, you go, it's somewhat of a major production to get there, as I described earlier. So you get there and then you go up, you go apart a while and are there to experience this, whatever it is. And she does retreats throughout the year based on different subjects. So one is just for women and one is goal setting and one is creating the millionaire mind and just incredibly wonderful, positive, uplifting experiences. And so this one was just for ministers. This is the third year she's done that. There were 28 ministers in a room. That sounds like the beginning of a joke too, but I don't know where it goes. 28 ministers in a room plus Edwine, and it was a wonderful experience. And at the end of each workshop, and they're normally either Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or this one was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at the end of the workshop, weather permitting, she does a fire walk. The first time I went, and so the retreat center is on the top of a hill, and you walk down this sloping area of grass. It's absolutely in the mountains of Alabama, so absolutely beautiful and green. And down at the bottom of this hill is this area where they build a fire and people walk on it. Exactly. The first time I went, I'm like, okay, so I am on the plane leaving San Diego and I am already worrying about the fact that there is no way in this life or the next one that I'm going to walk on fire. This is nonsense. This is ridiculous. These people are crazy. There is no way. Well, to make a long story even longer, I did. I did the first time, I did three times that first experience, and I've walked two or three times every time since then. It is the most amazing experience because this is fire. This is really real life, genuine fire. We go out there, you get a log to put on the pile, they douse it with gasoline, they light it on fire, and so there are flames. This is real life, genuine, over 1,000 degree fire that you are working on, that you are walking on. Logic tells us that you should be burned. But Edwine's been doing this for well over 25 years and she has never had someone burn. Because what happens is, before the experience, you have some time to go inside and ask the question, her words, can I do this and not be burned? What happens is, and medical science is not absolutely sure, but they think somehow, some way, well, they know, somehow, some way, the body protects the bottom of the feet from getting burned. And what I know is this is an absolute demonstration of how our thoughts determine our physical health. Because in this time that I'm preparing for this, if I get the guidance that I can do this and not be burned, my body does what it does to send the protection to the bottom of my feet so I can walk across and not be burned. Now, you don't go to the fire and stand there and recite the preamble to the Constitution. You walk. So it's not, you're not standing there. You walk with the purpose of getting off the fire. But the point is, you do it when you get that guidance and you're not burned. So this time, I'm here. This will be the fifth time. It's wonderful. It's always very, it's always been very life-changing for me because it is absolutely a statement of power, reminding me of the power that my thoughts have over my body, reminding me of the power that I have when I'm listening to this inner wisdom or Holy Spirit or whatever you want to say. It's also a reminder of that I am a strong person because of this connection with Spirit, because I, until I did this for the first time, was afraid of fire. So for me to be doing this, I want to tell you, was a pretty amazing experience. So we're there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Thursday morning we did what we did, and then we went apart for a while, and we had some quiet time, and I had lunch with friends, and then I went back to my hotel room, television's off, cell phone is off, I'm just sitting there minding my own business. Well, there's no question, you have to. Because you only get here once a year, so you don't want to miss out on the opportunity. And people at home are waiting to hear if you walked on fire, so you've got to do it. My ego's jumping up and down. Boy, this is just going to be so cool, and you'll get to do it again, and isn't that great? And you'll be able to post on Facebook that you did it, and it'll be wonderful. And the still small voice said, but what would it say about you if you didn't? But I have to. But what would it say about you if you didn't? What if this time this is not yours to do? So I didn't. And it was the most amazing experience because there are 28 of us, to about 31 of us all together with Edwine and her two staff members. And about 27 of the 31 of us walked on fire. And four of us didn't. And what I found was that this was even more of a power-filled experience for me by not walking than when I had walked. Because what I got was, I always know what I need to know when I need to know it. That was our affirmation in practitioner and minister school when you are sitting down preparing to take the test. And I want to tell you, this is a test for both of these experiences. And ministers and practitioners in the room, you know this is a test. I always know what I need to know when I need to know it. So my question to myself that came to me in the most amazing way, where in other areas of my life am I walking on fire that's not mine to do? Where have I picked up responsibility? Where have I picked up hurt? Where have I picked up something that had nothing to do with me that was not mine to do? So that's what we're talking about this morning, is this experience of this inner wisdom and this judgment that we get from Spirit that tells us, when we allow it to, what is ours and what is not. I was reminded of the Four Agreements, and we haven't talked about the Four Agreements in a while. This is a wonderful book by Don Miguel Ruiz, and he talks about these four pillars of wisdom, as far as I'm concerned, for how we handle our lives, starting with, don't take anything personally. Where in my life, and again, I so appreciate your being with me to hear me, but as always, I am speaking to myself this morning. Where in my life have I taken something personally? That's so important for us, because life happens. People do what they do. People come, people go. People do what they do. And so often we're tempted to go back to those days when we were small children, where the world revolved around us. And if you have small children or spend time with small children, you know that the world revolves around them. Some of us get past that and some of us don't. So where do we look at our lives and say, well, you said that because it was directed at me. It was personal to me, but the truth is 999 times out of 1,000, it had nothing to do with us. It just was what it was. Many of you have heard me tell the story before. My grandparents on my mother's side got married in 1931. So think about life in 1931. No unemployment insurance, no Social Security, no disability. The U.S. is just coming out of the Depression. Things were not all beer and pizza, I have a feeling, or champagne and caviar if you prefer. So in 1931, this young man, and I think he was about 20, and my grandmother was about 21, and they got married. And they stayed together for a few years. He went off and joined the army and then came back, got out of the army, and lived with them for a little while, and then left. Because it's about 1936 or 7, and he didn't know what to do, and he left. And my mother and I were talking about this decades later, obviously, fairly recently, and talking about how her father left her. And I said, but what if he didn't? What if he didn't leave you? What if he left the situation? And she said, he left grandma. And I said, well, what if he didn't even leave grandma? What if he just left the situation? What do we carry with us about what happened? It's always our story. You might remember me talking about our experience a couple of years ago at the Dr. Phil show, and the two girls that were interviewed, and they just had been out sending very inappropriate pictures to boys and sexting and doing all of those things, and they were interviewed by Dr. Phil because the parents obviously were extremely upset, and they said, we're just looking for someone to love us. And what came out in the conversation was that they had been adopted. And he didn't pick up on it, but I did, and I didn't want to call him on it because it's his show, not mine. But what if they both, and could very well be, they because they had both been adopted, maybe they both believed that their birth parents didn't love them and threw them away. But because we never know exactly what's happened, what if they changed the story to be that their birth parents loved them so much, recognized they couldn't take care of them the way they deserved to be taken care of, so they gave them to a family that could? So not only were they loved by one family, they were chosen by a second family. It's always our story. And we get to decide if we're going to take it personally or not. I don't know about you, but it's been my experience that taking things personally when it's really not about us is like walking on fire, and not in a good way, you know, because it just, you get your feelings hurt. What am I going to do with this? There's nothing to do with it until we look at it and change the story. So don't take things personally. Don't make assumptions. You know about assume. If you don't remember how the word divides, to see me afterwards and I'll remind you. Boy, that's been my experience. How often do we see a situation? That's why the Bible says do not judge by appearances. But how often do we see a situation and this is the way it looks, so this must be how it is, and that's how not how it is at all. But we are told not to judge by appearances, but sometimes we do. The third agreement, be impeccable with your word. What do we talk about? What do we think about? And I would suggest that our thoughts come in the form of words. And so the impeccability of our word has to do with not only what we're speaking about, but also what we're thinking about. What do we think about all day? How am I going to do that the first of the month? What's going to happen? Are we going to be okay? Or do we stay in this possibility? Do we recognize that God is our source? Do we get that we don't have to worry about this because Spirit's got this, whatever this is? Do we talk about our enoughness? We had company from out of town that, and I love them dearly, but the conversation kept going about how old they are. And, you know, I'm too old for this, and I can't do this because I'm so old and the rest of that. And I'm like, girls, you're about 5 years older than I am. You're not that old because I'm not that old. That's nonsense. Where do we spend our time? What are we talking about? What are we focusing on? Because our bodies hear what we're saying. Too old to do that? Okay. Our bodies are listening to what we're saying. And then the fourth agreement is doing our best. And I believe that has to do with making decisions based on our inner wisdom versus our fear. Now, it's possible that if I'd, even though I got the divine guidance to not walk on fire, it's possible that if I'd walked, I would have been fine. And I probably would have. But this just feels so much better that I was able to listen to that inner wisdom and act on it. Where in our lives are we getting that inner wisdom? Maybe it's the, I just don't want to do this. Maybe it's the, I'm sick and tired of this. Maybe it's the, I'm sick and tired of schlepping, or one of Edwin's affirmations that I love is, I choose to release all sense of burden, struggle, and fear. What burdens are we still carrying about an old judgment, or about I have to do this, or about whatever it is that it's time for us to let go of? What are we doing because we're worried about what people think versus because it makes our hearts sing? Interesting question. And then the fifth agreement from Don Miguel Ruiz's more recent book, Be skeptical, but learn to listen. It's the most amazing experience, and I know you've had them as well. Maybe it's just the parking place. Go down this aisle. Yeah, but it's the day. It's 2 days before Christmas at Fashion Valley. There's no way there's going to be a parking place there. But you do anyway, and there it is. Or call this person. It's time for a new job. Call this person. Or go down this street. Many of you have been to our house, and you might remember the story. We live in a condo in La Mesa, and we were renting an apartment before we found this place and had no idea. It wasn't advertised for rent or anything, and we're going to the bank. We're going to Wells Fargo, and the still small voice said, turn and go up Baltimore Drive. Well, I don't want to. Turn and go up Baltimore Drive. And so we did, and we saw the for rent sign in this condo. And we moved in and rented for 10 years, and then bought it. So never packed a box, didn't use a real estate agent. The guy, the landlord was so wonderful. It was just the perfect experience. But if we hadn't have listened to the still small voice in a what looks to be illogical situation, we wouldn't have found it. Amazing, and yet not. Because that's how it goes. That's how it goes. We miss out on this opportunity for inner wisdom, for this inner guidance, when we stay in regret. If only I would have. I should have. What do we regret? It does us no good. It does us no good. I have a dear one in my family you've heard me speak of before. As soon as the sandwich arrives and it's on sourdough, she wishes she would have gotten whole wheat. And it's a little thing, but it's the foundation for her life in regret. But the good news is there's always another sandwich. So enjoy the sourdough, and next time remember that you want whole wheat. But stay out of that. Stay out of that regret, because we always did the best we could at the time. And everybody else did too. The book that my book study class is using on Wednesday nights is Prosperity's Ten Commandments, written by Georgiana Tree West. She's an early Unity writer. It's an absolutely wonderful book because the Ten Commandments, and we might not be able to recite all of them, but most of us are pretty familiar with the big ones, you know, kill, steal, commit adultery, covet thy neighbor's cow, and so on and so on. You know, we're familiar with most of those. It's a wonderful book because she relates them to the experience of prosperity, and prosperity related to money, but also our health and our relationships. Wonderful book, Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock in the lobby. And if you're available, I would love it if you'd come and join us. We have books on the visitor table this morning if you'd like to take a look. It's on a love offering basis, so don't let money keep you from coming, but would love to have you join me. But she talks about the fourth commandment, and I love the concept of this because if you remember, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But the book says the Sabbath means a time of rest. A Sabbath then is a period of cessation from effort in order to rest and relax for the purpose of gathering strength and power for a new period of activity. Our major difficulty in any demonstration or manifestation or answered prayer lies in the fact that our personal self insists on assuming the entire responsibility and so prevents us from receiving the beneficence of the divine will. We need to learn that our part lies in acknowledging God's presence, accepting from God the good we desire, doing whatever is logically required of us to further this desire, and then letting God do his part through his already established laws. So in the book, she translates the fourth commandment to let go and let God do it. Our last step in affirmative prayer, we call it spiritual mind treatment, is thanksgiving and release. But can we release? Or do we keep taking it back? Okay, universe, let me help you with this. Did you do that? You know, it could happen this way, it could happen this way, but there's no way it could happen this way, or this way. Do we do that? Or do we allow, really, do we allow Spirit to do what Spirit does? Because we don't get to see all the ways that it, whatever it is, could happen for us. We don't get to see that, but Spirit does when we allow it to. Where do we go? What do we do? Who do we ask? Who do we talk to? We don't always know, but the still small voice does when we allow it to. And then when it happens, boy, that was a strange coincidence. Isn't that weird? I got the word that the keys were in the freezer. I got that thought, but that was a strange coincidence. Boy, that was a stupid thing to do. Do we beat ourselves up over that, or do we honor that thought that we got? Because if there's no degree of difficulty in miracles, and every, as far as I'm concerned, every manifestation, every answered prayer is a miracle. If there's no degree of difficulty in miracles, that means that every time we need to know something, we can ask, how do I do this? Where do I go for this? How do I forgive and release this? Whatever it is, we can ask and allow that still small voice to tell us what we need to do. Is this mine to do? We can ask that and then act on the intuitive ideas that come to us. Do I need to worry about this? Or can I absolutely know, can I absolutely trust that life is for me? We need to be sure I won't tell you what you need to do, but what I need to do is make sure that I'm recognizing the divine, the infinite life, spirit, the universe as a loving, nurturing presence that always says yes to me, not as a punishing, judgmental God up on a cloud someplace. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but there's the temptation. Ooh, there's a word I haven't used in a long time. There's the temptation to slip back into that old traditional thinking that God's out there somewhere. But Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So that's where we can go to get that guidance. And when we get it, we can honor it and know that it always works. Those of us that have been in this teaching for a long time maybe are prone to just take it for granted and it's just no big deal. But if we allow ourselves to honor it every time, we can honor it every time. As you may know, Melissa Greenberg is working with Pam Grout, who is the author of E Squared and E Cubed. Pam Grout is a New York Times bestselling author, and she's going to be with us on Saturday, August 1st. In preparation for that, there's a flyer in your bulletin this morning, and I invite you to do this experiment with me if you would like. She refers to God, Spirit, the universe, our higher power as the dude or the field of possibility. And, you know, you can call Spirit, the universe, the divine, the infinite, call it whatever you want to call it. But on the white sheet, there is our first experiment. And I'm going to do this week, and I invite you to join me as well. So the question is, because, yeah, we know, and yeah, we come to church, and yeah, that's what I said, and yeah, we heard it, and yeah, okay. But then life goes along, and we slip back by Tuesday afternoon. We slip back into worrying about how we're going to do this, or how are we going to pay the rent, or what about this, or taking this personally, or whatever. And so we can be consciously aware of this loving, nurturing presence and ask the question, how do I do this? Or ask for that, whatever that is, the new job or the new relationship or the expanded income or whatever, and watch it manifest for us. So I invite you, as you see, if there's a 24/7 energy force equally available to everyone, and there is, I can access it at any time simply by paying attention. Furthermore, if I ask the force for a blessing, giving it a specific time frame and clear instructions, it'll send me a gift and say, my pleasure. So what would you like to experience? Maybe it's the answer to a question. Maybe it's the expanded income or the new job or the whatever it is in your life. But I invite you, because we know this works, but sometimes we just get too busy. So the opportunity is to be consciously conscious and aware of what we're asking for and aware of when it happens for us. So if this feels good for you, I invite you to do this experiment with me for 48 hours, and we'll talk about it next Sunday. Yes, Melissa?
I know that this works.
Mm-hmm.
And the 9 exercises in the book, it's kind of learning to flex a muscle that maybe you're working out, maybe you're using a new muscle you haven't used before. This works.
Yes.
And I'll just real quick share my experience.
Uh-huh.
This particular exercise of receiving a gift, I was working in an office, I was really pregnant by then, and I was, there's no way I was going to get outside. But I thought, okay, I'm reading this on the bus, it said, I'm going to get my gift. But I thought, how's anybody going to find me in this office to give me a gift? I'm sort of working by myself in a little cubicle. I thought, oh, I'm in New York. I know I'll go downstairs to get a tea, and they'll be passing out those free samples. They always did that stuff. I thought, that's not really a gift. I said, all right, I'm just going to not tell it how to give me the gift, and I'm just going to allow the gift. Within 48 hours, I was doing property management. One of the tenants that I talked to all the time didn't know I was pregnant, spoke to my boss about something else, said, oh, I really like her. Well, you know, she's leaving because she's pregnant, blah, blah, blah. He worked for Kleinfeld, Say Yes to the Dress, a lot of these shows. And he sent me, I didn't know this, a box came for me, beautiful, from Ralph Lauren, these beautiful white boxes wrapped in ribbon. And they said, oh, you got a package. I did. And I opened the box, and I was like, oh, for me? And then I went, oh, my God, I just said the thing that I was, oh, wow, that was creepy. Like, all my hair stood up. I'm like, this is it. And it was two little baby outfits for them. And I thought, you know, we didn't have any conversation about it. He couldn't have known, but it was that moment of, for me? So I do know that it works, as do all the other exercises in the book. And yeah, I'm excited to hear what people get.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And so maybe it's a specific, or maybe it's a really cool invitation for lunch, or maybe it's a gift, whatever it is. But I invite you to play with me on this, and let's do this. Let's do this and see what happens. What we're affirming is that it's always done unto us as we believe. Always, always, always. And again, we use these answered prayers, these manifestations, these demonstrations for the foundation, because if it works for parking places, it works for baby formula, and it works for the new job, and it works for the expanded income, and it works for whatever, because life always says yes. And that's what we're about, is the sacred yes, and the yes, thank you, and more, please. That's what we're here to do, is express and experience all the good that life has for us. That's what we came here to do, is to play, to have a wonderful time. And we can't play and have a wonderful time if we're worried about our money or our health challenges or our relationships. That's what we came here to do. So I invite you to play with me on this. We'll talk about it next Sunday. Bible says, ask, seek, and knock, and then be there at the door when it opens, paraphrased. You know, how often do we ask, seek, or knock, and then, yeah, but we get waylaid, and so there's spirit with the answer, but we're in the other room. So we have to ask, seek, and knock, and then pay attention to what we're told. Is this ours to do, and how? So with that in mind, join me in the light for a moment. So in the peace and the quiet of this moment, we allow ourselves to be reminded of our oneness with the God presence, with one another, and with all of life. And we come together in gratitude for this wonderful spiritual community, for safe travel, for wonderful experiences, and for heart-opening truths. And we allow ourselves to say yes. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's life's good pleasure to give us everything we ask for and more to express and experience life. So the financial good, the perfect health, the wonderful relationships, all of those things. So this week we allow ourselves to be consciously conscious, to be aware, to listen and to act, and say yes, thank you, and more please. We give thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning, for this beloved community, and for the opportunity to be reminded of our truth. We give great thanks, and together we say, and so it is.